The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John chapter 1, verse 5. Welcome to Echoes Through the Abyss, a place where the deepest valleys of human experience meet the unrelenting light of hope. In this world, many have walked through darkness, through trauma, loss, brokenness and despair. But even in the depths, even in the silence of the abyss, there are echoes. Echoes of survival, echoes of redemption, echoes of faith. Here we share real stories of people who have faced the darkness and found their way back to the light. Because no matter how deep the abyss may feel, hope still speaks. This is Echoes Through the Abyss podcast.
Hey, hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Echoes Through the Abyss podcast. I'm your co-host, Mandy.
And I am Ben.
And I am Veronica.
And tonight we're going to kind of do a little Bible study because it's Sunday and, well, it's better to read the Bible with other people because half the time I don't understand what I'm reading and it's kind of hard to minister to other people when you don't know what you're talking about. It kind of makes you just look dumb and I don't like looking dumb. So we're going to jump into some Matthew 13 today, talking about one of the parables, which is, I guess, one of everybody's favorite parables.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Okay. All right,
the
Ben.
The sower.
Yes, the sower. Parable of the sower. You want to pray us in, bro?
Yes. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, the kingdom, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Hang on just a second. I've got a barking dog behind me. Charlie, hush. Can you hear him?
Not much.
See if my stepmom can get him to go in. He has to bark at everything that moves. Which I guess is a good thing for a guard dog, but it's kind of annoying when you're trying to film or record a podcast, but whatever, it's all good. So we had a really good church service this morning. I don't know if y'all did too. Hope so. And I would like to start, before we jump into Bible study, with just a little bit of worship. And this song kind of wrecked me this morning, so bear with me just a moment. Called Sinner.
I can hear. Can you hear?
Cannot hear. What the heck?
You guys not hear it?
I am not.
I can.
You might need to turn your things up because it's kind of low.
Okay.
Very soft voice.
Do you want to restart it since we were talking?
Yeah, just turn your volume up a little bit.
Simple things. Just like Mary chose the better thing.
Yeah, that was the second song they played this morning. Bawling like a baby, couldn't stop the whole time. Oh, I just love when the Holy Spirit moves me to tears in front of a bunch of people I don't know who they are. But that's okay.
Good. At least they have the so lights dim then, right?
What'd you say?
So at least they have the lights dim then, right?
Oh no, they have, it's like a whole production thing. So they've got like stage lights blasting on us. So, you know, I guess the stage people can see us. They're just like cameras walking all over the place. I'm like, whatever, cool.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of my favorite songs. It's such a good song.
Yeah, beautiful.
Person. Gets mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit flowing. So we had a really powerful sermon today. We talked a lot about surrendering, and which is a problem that I have. And then today was the first day of a 5-week class that my church does. It's called Encountering Jesus, which is really cool. It's kind of like learning how to become intimate with Jesus and just getting to know him better. And today we talked about, you know, surrendering and the next steps and what people or what I specifically feel like I've been called to do. And that little devil come up lying, he's, you know, talking about how, oh, you guys are just a bunch of nobodies, not going to do anything. But then Holy Spirit, of course, comes in with that nice, comforting, silent voice. It's like, well, they may be a bunch of nobodies, but they're Jesus called nobodies who are going to bring a lot of people to his kingdom. So shut up. I had to rebuke and stuff. Put my mic on because I didn't want people to think, why is she rebuking us? You know, but that's okay. But anywho, it was such a good day for Holy Spirit whisperings, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're going to talk, as we said, about the parable of the sower. And we're going to read half of it first, and then we'll kind of discuss a little bit. Then we'll read the other half and go from there.
I thought we were starting with the Beatitudes, no?
Nah, you said it's going to be too long, so.
Oh, okay. I'm on the Beatitudes. What are we reading?
Chapter 13, 1 through 15.
Okay. We ready?
Yep.
All right, Holy Father, bless me as I read your word and let us get what you want from your scripture. This is St. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 through 15. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell unto stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know my mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye all shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them.
Well, I like the NLT version because I'm just like, I got done with Shakespeare a long time ago. But that's okay. Everybody has their own versions they like. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of feel like I'm planting in the thorns right now. Still trying to work my way out.
I don't know. I feel like I go from different stages. I think for me, though, like just from that, the verses we read so far, like 1 through 15, the most powerful line is the last line, the very last part where he says, and I should heal them, right? Because he's saying that even these people who don't understand, even though it's not given to them right now, even though they don't hear it, they don't see it, they can hear it and see it if I choose to heal them.
So even if they are stubborn and don't want to see him and don't want to understand, he's going to heal them. Yeah, I didn't realize about that part.
I didn't read that at all. That's not what came to mind. I thought, well, if they're ignorant, then they're out of luck.
It's not that. What happened is that the word is alive. The word of God is alive. So let's say that Ben and me have been reading 10, 15 years the Bible. Very good. But every time that he or me will read the Bible, we will find something different. We will find something new. For example, what he just read, I never put attention to that.
Same.
I just learned that right now. So it's because the word is alive.
It's right. Alive for sure. I mean, I've read through the Bible multiple times now, and every time I read it, I find verses where like entire verses or stories where I'm like, I never read this.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, that happened to me too. And I told you guys I have that group that I send every day the gospel. And I send that for years every day. And sometimes it's the same gospel because it's the Catholic group that I send them the gospel, the Catholic gospel that the Vatican say, today we're going to read this gospel. You know, so all the Catholic church in the world read the same gospel the same day. So I read in that gospel for years, and always I find something different. Something different every year, every time that we post that. So it's not that easy, Mandy. Not that easy.
No, it's not. Especially not when it's so huge.
I also didn't realize how closely this ties into the Beatitudes. I know we're not going over them today, but like the Beatitudes, right? Like it says, like the meek shall inherit the earth, and the poor of spirit shall receive the kingdom of God. Now, do you believe that if you just have a poor spirit, you can receive the kingdom of God?
No.
No.
Well,
you have to be.
I'm thinking saved. No.
You have to be saved through Jesus. So all of the Beatitudes are like, this gets you this, this gets you this, this gets you this. But then when you go further, you see this like through the humbling of your spirit and giving and realizing that you can't achieve the law without Christ, which is exactly what he's saying right here, right? Like, I will give it to those who I wish to give it to if I choose to heal them.
Yeah. It is, that part is really amazing about the Beatitudes.
Yeah, but why wouldn't this heal everybody?
Why doesn't he heal everybody? That's a wonderful question, and it's one of those things that nobody likes the answer, which is we don't understand.
I think that is that you choose to be healed. Because when he healed the paralytic in the pool of Bethesda, he asked him, do you want to be healed? And he was distracted with other things. And then he said, I didn't ask you that. I ask you, do you want to be healed? Like, focus on me and ask me to be healed, and I will heal you.
Yeah. You know? I mean, Certainly, free will is a huge part of it, like Veronica's saying. But when you get into like Romans with Paul, there gets some tricky stuff where he is very much talking about God's chosen elect.
Which is us, by the way, as broken and crazy as we all are. I
Yeah.
can't understand why he's at least with me.
But if there's a
Yeah.
God's chosen elect and he's not chosen to choose everybody, we can't understand that. That's a God thing. That's not an us thing.
Yeah. Something that my husband always say that is very unfair is that he say that it's unfair that let's say that person is evil all his life, and at the end of his life, in the moment of him dying, he regret, and then he gets to go to heaven after being all his life mean and bad.
Yeah, but is that true repentance though? Because it has to be, you have to really mean it.
Okay,
Kind
this
of
is why
like
I always answered
the
him.
thief on the cross beside Jesus, I guess. I don't know.
I always answered
Message.
him. God can read our hearts.
Yeah.
He can see real repentance, you know? Because one thing is to be scared of what's going to happen to you when you die. That's one thing. And another thing is repent of everything, and I want God, and I want to serve God, you know?
And I
That
repent every
is.
night before I go to sleep, just in case I don't wake up.
Yeah, good idea.
I think it's really interesting these the sower verses though, when you like look at the fact that even the one where the fowls come and it stays on the surface, these are all from a glance Christians, right? This is it's that first verse isn't like this person refused to listen. No, they listened. The word sat on top of their ears and the birds came and they took it away, right? Like, so even that person from a glance at some point was what you would call a Christian.
They just didn't, I don't know, like walk the walk, I guess, really put in the effort.
It
Cause
just
like we're
never got, yeah, it
supposed
never
to,
got deep.
yeah, cause we're supposed to get into the word daily. And really, if we're going to be a
Yeah.
disciple, then, you know, we have to really dig in and do it.
Yeah.
And it's not easy.
There is a lot of levels of the seed or the sewer or the dirt. I think there is a lot of levels. I know people, very few, that read every day the Bible, pray for a list of people every day, can explain you the word. They act. You never see in them like a non-example of what they preach. I don't feel I am in that level at all.
I think that's more of the second level, like the one that took root, but it's not strong, a strong root. You know what I mean? That's what I think, kind of like the Christians that I ran away from when I was 19. That's kind of how I felt like they were. It's kind of just like, you know, put on this big display at church on Sundays and then go off and act like jerks the rest of the week. I feel like those are the people who, you know, the seeds get pulled from because they're not really living their life the way Jesus is wanting us to. So that's what I'm trying to do right now as much as possible.
Yeah, that's what we need to forgive each other because we are all broken and we are all failing and we are all gonna do something wrong in one point in the Christianity life, in front of our Christian life and our Christian commitment. We're gonna do something wrong, and we need to forgive ourselves and forgive the other Christians. I remember when my husband and me, I was trying to start my husband in this church. Ben used to go with me to this church. And he was a mechanic there. And he fixed our cars. And my husband was all excited because he really needed a mechanic for one of his old cars. And then he say, oh, if he's a Christian, he's going to charge me right. And he's going to be a good guy. He's going to tell me the truth. Well, in the beginning, it was like that. And at the end, the big bill came. And my husband was so disappointed because when you see this guy in church, he will be opening his arms and he will be doing all kinds of things. And then he really was not he was not loyal to my husband, and he was not honest with him, you know? So disappoint him a lot, and that it makes me mad, not because of the car and the situation of the money. It makes me mad because I was trying to push my husband to start his Christianity life, and then he had this disappointment right in the front, you know?
Well, I think
So
that's a problem that people see a lot because, and I'm bad about doing this too. It's like when you hear somebody's a Christian, you're just like, oh, well, they're going to be good, decent people. And then you find out, well, you know what? They actually are just human. I can be as sinless as I possibly can be and still screw up because I'm a human, because I'm not perfect, because I'm not sinless like Jesus was. That's him
Exactly.
and God. But,
Yeah.
it's just you have to kind of go in to that with a grain of salt. Yeah, they're Christians and hopefully they're really living the word, but if they're not, give them grace because they are human. And
Yeah.
they may have lessons that the Holy Spirit's trying to teach them. Just like, he keeps trying to teach me a bunch of stuff, and forgiving ourselves is one of the biggest things of the week that I've taken away from what he's been telling me. And a friend of mine, she's kind of mentoring me right now. I called her the other day because I was having an issue. I'm just like, I've let certain people go. A certain person in my family, and then that inmate that I've been or was talking to, I tried to just let them go and just be like, okay, fine, whatever. God, do your thing. And I asked her why, if I let them go and if I forgave them, that I couldn't get them out of my mind. They kept popping in my head, like constantly, when I'm trying to, focus on other things. And I'm sure they're just the devil's using them as a distraction. But she said, well, I think you may need to go back and maybe repent again and make amends and then go back and forgive yourself. And I'm just like, that kind of hit hard. Of course, she made me cry because I cry all the time now. But I'm just like, the whole forgiving of yourself is kind of a big thing. It's part of the Christian walk. You can't just, it's not about just forgiving others. You have to forgive yourself because you have to.
You
I don't
have
know
to.
why, you just have to. I was told I have to, so
Yeah.
I'm going to obey and try, even if it's a daily thing. Or I wake up and tell myself I forgive myself, whatever. I mean, I have to surrender myself every aspect of my life daily to Jesus as soon as I wake up, like before I grab my phone, because that flesh just wants to maintain control over everything, and it hasn't worked out so far in my 49 years, so. It's time that I really, really surrender. And that's another theme that's been coming up with me lately is this whole surrender thing. And I was telling the group tonight, I was just like, oh, I know what's going to happen when I fully surrender. He's going to really push me into this prison ministry thing that he's been talking about. And I'm like, I'm kind of scared of that because who am I to minister to somebody else? I mean, I'm just now really jumping into the Bible. And he keeps telling me that, we all have our own testimonies and there are things that we can share with other people, not necessarily. I mean, everything I'm going to do is going to be scripture based, obviously, but it's not something that I can, if I haven't written it down or like studied it previously, like just pull it out of thin air and be like, okay, well, this is what the Bible says about this, and this is why I believe this. But, we all have testimonies and we all can pass on encouragement and love each other because, the prison ministry, especially those people. I think once you really do regret the things that have happened in their life and really do want to know Jesus, I think they are hungry for it. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. So kind of scary, but.
In
Well,
terms
you're in a
of
good path.
like self-forgiveness, like my mom said like a long time ago before her passing, that she was saying, something I was fretting about, and she was like, Ben, why do you keep crucifying yourself when Jesus already did that for you?
Yeah.
And it's true, right? Like we beat ourselves up so much. And I think that's the big reason why we, when you said, I don't know why we have to forgive ourselves, it's because God forgave us. Who are we to not forgive ourselves if God forgave us?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yes, he paid for our sins. He We should be like relaxed, but we aren't.
Yeah, I mean that's we just is like that's a faith thing, right? Like we know it, we believe it, but do we don't believe it enough when the Bible says that we are washed like white as snow, that sin is gone. You should not have to forgive yourself anymore. It's gone.
Doesn't mean you still think about things because we're human and that's just how we roll. But I mean, it's kind of, if you think about it, if we can't forgive others or forgive ourselves, it's kind of like a slap in Jesus's face if you think about it, because look what he did for us.
His whole purpose was forgiveness and salvation. Yeah.
So by us saying, now I'm not going to do that, well, am I saying I'm better than Jesus? No, definitely not. And it was funny. I was on the driving to Nashville. It's about an hour and a half up there, and I always listen to worship music anytime I'm driving because it helps keep the road rage down a little bit. But he just drops these funny little things, like these weird little things that just pop into my head, just like so random. And I was sitting here thinking, I don't know why Adam and Eve popped in my head, but I just got this picture of like God, standing in the Garden of Eden with his hands on his hips and like shaking his head and be like, "Those SOBs not going to sacrifice my own son because of this," which I mean, he already knew he was going to have to do, but it just was a funny thought in my head. I don't know why, but I mean, here's a question that came into my mind too. So when Jesus was being tortured, basically, the Bible says that God was actually, he took Jesus's form. And I guess God was the one who was taking the punishment. So did Jesus even feel anything? Or was he just automatically like,
I mean, to me, Jesus is God, so it's all the same
I know,
thing.
but don't get into the Trinity stuff because that's just, I can't. I'm too tired.
I can't separate it. Jesus is God, so God is Jesus.
No, but when you're
Jesus is
talking
God,
about
so
God
God
coming
is
down
taking
and
the brunt
having,
the whole time.
well,
God
my
gave the
pastor
servant
one time
unlocked.
said something very easy about the Trinity, because he said that one time he was in a plane and there was this lady next to him and he saw him reading the Bible, and then she asked him, "Oh, so you are a pastor?" And then he said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Oh, there is something I don't understand about your religion." And I said, "What?" He said, "It's that Trinity thing. How can you explain that?" And he said, "Okay, let me think." Okay, I say, "I think is if you see like the what is that symbol of the Irish people for
The
St.
Celtic, no.
Patrick, the tree thing,
Oh, the
you
church.
know, the shamrock, shamrock.
the shamrock. Okay, if you see a shamrock, it's one piece, but it has three parts." So that's how I see the Trinity. It's a one whole God, but it has three parts. You know? That's what
Yeah,
he
and
explained.
yeah, but then you start reading, it's like, so Jesus was the living embodiment of God, God's Father, Spirit up in heaven. And then the Holy Spirit is literally that, the Holy Spirit who's our comforter. He's the spirit we can't see but can always feel, and who makes me sweat a lot whenever he comes on
Well,
me, which.
the Holy Spirit is Jesus and is the Father as well.
Yes, they're all
You
one.
know?
But it, like, it, to look at it from a human standpoint, we were made in God's image.
Right.
If you think about it, we are also a trinity. We have a mind, which I see as the Father. We have a spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, and we have a body, which is Jesus. Right? Like we were made in
I
God's image.
never saw that.
That's a good way to put it.
Yep.
It
Yeah,
still
so
messes up
Jesus
my
is the
head.
body. Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting. Jehovah's Witness, they don't believe in the Trinity. That was one of the reasons I left the
And they don't
study.
believe, yeah, they don't believe Jesus is God. Same with
They don't
Mormonism,
believe in the Trinity.
yeah.
which is why I should put this out there, but I don't believe those are Christian religions.
Well, I mean, since Christianity is kind of built around believing in Jesus was our Lord and Savior, they can't be Christians if they don't believe that. No offense to anybody, but please, if we're wrong about that, explain it to us, because
Exactly.
that's the way our faith works. Like, we all, the only way we're going up to heaven and living in eternity is because we believe in Jesus, that he's our Lord and Savior, and that he died for our sins and was rose again 3 days later. So that's how we get to heaven. Well, that's part of the way, because I mean, we can't give up our salvation,
yeah,
by backsliding, or what would be, I guess, equivalent to like false prophecy, I guess. I don't know. I had that explained to me one time too, and now I can't remember what it was, but it's actually pretty good.
But the good news is, if the word hits the good soil, then you're okay. Even if you mess up along the way, it's still going to be rooted there. Because if you look at all of the other ones, when it hits the stones, when it hits the thorns, it always, the word of God, the spirit within, is always destroyed, right? Like the thorns, it was choked out. The fowls devoured them, and the stony place, they had no deepness, and the sun dried them up, right? Like, but if it's really inside you, even if you backslide, like as the word Mandy said, which I think we all do in some points, you still find your way back because it's rooted.
If you choose.
I don't think you can choose it. God chose it. I mean, I do believe in free will, but I do believe in the elect, and I don't think there's any way to not choose it when it's there.
Yeah.
All right, Veronica, you want to do this?
Definitely. Okay. The second part?
Yeah, that was 16.
Verse 16.
Yeah. Wait, I have to put my lamp, because I have not too much light here. And where he went? I found it. Okay. But blessed are you, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell amongst the thorns represents those who hear the God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of the life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted.
Yeah, my seeds were on the rocky soil not too long ago, because this whole thing I talked about with my stepsister and everything, that was just, I mean, I almost like said, heck with this crap, I'm done. So that was definitely rocky soil, because there was nothing took root in me at all, apparently, because I was just ready to walk away. But I didn't.
I mean, we all had bad days in our Christian life. And there is doubt. I think that doubt is part of the faith. It's going to be moments that we ask God why these kids had to suffer so much, you know? I mean, it's okay with us suffering, but why kids, you know? Especially as a mother, I hate to see kids or children suffering, you know?
Right.
And I always ask, why you permit this, God? And that always tests my faith, that part. But we all are gonna face those days, Mandy, not just you because of the problem with your sister. We all have those kind of situations. But then we come back. Why we come back? Because we
Because it's
know.
deeper rooted. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
We
deeper
know
rooted
that.
for you too, Mandy, because even without your sister, you found a different church on your own and you've been continuing the path. So the rocks aren't stopping anything.
Yeah. Now, what it worries me about this parable, the whole thing, is the last part, is the one that has to give fruits. And I always say that, especially in my church, I go to a Lutheran church, and there is a lot of like older people, and they are like very traditionalist and a little bit sleeping in that tradition. And I think it came a guy that wrote a book. I don't remember the name of the book, but I'm going to get that for you guys. But it was about Jesus' fruit in us, you know? And it's about going out and do what the great commitment is, that to tell the good news to others, to tell the truth, and to make apostles, more disciples. And that's our job. And our fruits are those. Also, the fruits that is in the letters of Paul, the fruit of the Spirit, that we can talk a whole chapter about that. Those are when finally you are getting in the level of that dirt that Jesus wants us to be, the one that gets the seed and make fruits, you know? Patience, love, kindness, all those fruits. Those will get there. We will get there. It's a process. I don't think that it's night today. Okay, now I am good. I am a good child of God, you know? It's not like that. It doesn't work like that.
I mean, I believe you that like the converting people and getting more people for Christ is the main fruit. But I also think
Yes.
when like Jesus says, like, if you give someone water in my name, if you feed someone in my name, if you house someone in my name, I'm not saying good deeds alone, but if you're a Christian who like you're doing something kind for someone else because you love Christ, that's a fruit.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I agree with
because
that.
We did it to him. Yes.
What you were
Yes.
saying a few minutes ago is about, because we, one of the part of the sermon today was talking about Gideon's story of how he, it was 300 against what, like 135,000. And he's talking about how, you know, Gideon's like, God, why are you doing this to me? And we all go through that phase. I mean, gosh, I've been asking that for the last 3 years. You know, why am I going through the crap I'm going through right now? But there's a reason for it. And when it's time for me to fully understand, he'll let me know. So till then, I just got to have to keep pushing forward and trusting that there's a better path for me and a better way of living, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, keep getting to know him, getting to know him through reading his Bible, reading the word every day, praying every day. And just being close to the Holy Spirit. I've told the Holy Spirit he's now my best friend. So he's, I try to include him in everything I do now. I mean, he's
ultimately,
you know.
If ultimately everything we go through in life brings us closer to God, that is the reward. I mean, in the Sermon on the Mount, right, Jesus talks about like if your hand causes you to sin, you cut off your hand because it's better that you go into heaven maimed, right, than to perish otherwise, right? Like, so
your whole body to be thrown into the fire.
Yeah, so there's like, we all go through trials, and some are harder than others, and you know, they're all custom made for us, and ultimately they're part of the path of our salvation, then they need to be there, right? So Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still like I'm gonna have a nice little chat with God when I get up there face to face.
My guess is you're going to get there and you're going to be completely free of your body and you're going to be so full of life and happiness and joy that you're not going to care about any of
Oh, I have questions that I want answered. Dang it.
I think that she's gonna say, screw up all the questions. I just wanna enjoy this.
Right? Feel like
I'm
you
gonna
have a
bounce
hot
on
tub up
clouds.
here? Yeah,
Yes, my husband, I told you guys that he lost his second job for the last time, and then he has been asking every day to God that what he wants him to do. And he say, I don't have any answers. He's not answering me. And then I say, keep asking. And we will keep asking.
Is he sure he's not
Because
answering him, or he's just not listening?
no,
Because I have that problem sometimes.
he's like, yeah, he's trying to put attention, me too, actually, because I am actually involved in that. So I say, God, let us know what you want us to do and make it clear. But it's in his time, knowing our time, you know. He will tell us in his time, in his plan, what he want us to do. And we will have to wait, you know.
It's stressful even hearing the story, like when you were talking about how he's in this position with these like young programmers and they're primarily using like AI to do their programming these days,
Yeah.
and like they have tricks and things, and like it's not hard work, and it's sad that like
Yeah.
that's what's valued now, right? Like they don't care about that the product, they care about, or they don't care about how you got there, they just care about the final product.
Yeah. The funny part is that they were doing this huge thing between DHL and Amazon to like import stuff from China, and it was a huge project. And he was watching the big picture, and he was thinking, oh, this is not working because they don't have enough warehouses. They are not measuring right the containers. They are not doing so. He was watching that part where they were focusing in the slavery part of the little people making the shipments with the computers and the programs, and what will be faster? What will be faster?
Yeah, and I can tell you from the
This.
DHL tariff standpoint, they're watching them these people count the money, right?
Yes.
They're rolling in the dough from that,
Yeah, I know.
so they're not worried
So,
about the big picture anymore. They're just worried about that quick buck.
no. But then he was getting stressed out about that this project is not gonna work. He said because they are not watching what's gonna happen. And then I told him the other day, you don't have to stress anymore. See, that was out from you. I mean, that was being stressful for you. You don't have to stress anymore. And
Right.
it's sad, but it is the truth. I mean, he needs to retire right now, but we would like to serve God, you know. We would like to do that, and then we want him to tell us what he want us to do. I don't know if you remember, in that church that we used to go together, that it was this guy, that this pastor, that he was in his dreams, God told him that he needed to go to Nepal. And the same night, his wife had the same dream.
Was that
Yes.
the guy from like Ghana?
Argentina.
Oh, Argentina.
Argentina. And then they went to Nepal, and they had a school there, and they hide because they cannot practice Christianity publicly there where they are.
Gosh. Where's that? You
Yes.
said Paul?
Nepal, yes. And he has to quit his job. He was doing good at his job, but he has to quit his job. And they had to do everything because the way that God presented them the dream, it was too clear. And everything went together, and then they have living there for years now. And people give donations to them, and that's how they live.
Incredible.
Yes,
Got to
and
trust and believe.
they have a church that start with two people, with three, and now they have like hundreds.
That's
You know,
great.
it's easier to trust when God tells you both.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely better confirmation.
Because you're like, one goes to the other one, and they're like, look, honey, God told me something crazy last night, and you're going to be livid. And they're like, nope, he told me to. Let's go. Pack the bags.
Yeah.
I'd hate to see what happens if they didn't went, if they hadn't gone. Oh, goodness. That's a lot to digest in an hour. For me, anyway.
I think when you don't do what God says, you end up in the belly of a whale, if I remember correctly.
Is that Jonah?
Jonah, yeah.
When he was told to
Jonah.
go to, was it Nineveh?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to end up in the belly of a whale.
Yeah, what
Getting
happened
the
is that
problems.
the people of Nineveh, the warriors of Nineveh, when they grab somebody like from Israel, they used to take their skins out.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. So they were famous for this kind of tortures, or take the
I wouldn't want
eyes
to go there
out.
either.
Yeah. So that's what Jonah didn't want to go to preach them, imagine. Stay in front of them and start to preach. And he
Well,
did it. He finally had to do it.
that's kind of the basically the same thing as Gideon, because he didn't want to be 300 against 135,000, which his only weapon was a horn, a clay pot, and a light. So it's just like, how do you defend yourself with that? Oh, by the way, God's going to be with you. Okay, well, that does it for me. I'm good.
You guys need to watch that series of David.
Where is it on?
It's in Prime.
Oh, Prime, okay.
It's so good. Oh, you're gonna love it.
You say the cities of David? It's not that cartoon, is it?
No, cartoon. No, it's the
That was
House
pretty
of
good, though.
David.
Oh, the House of David, okay.
Is it? Yeah, because they make a cartoon. I know, but no, this is called the House of David. It's really good, and it's very similar to the story of Gideon, but you see the little shepherd fighting with a giant. You know, it's a huge thing, and then it repeats that model the whole life of David. But Gideon was in the same situation. It was very few against so many, but when God is there.
That's all that
I
matters.
re Yes, in the book
If
of
God's for you,
Judges,
who can
I
be
don't
against you?
remember, but there is a story of that God swipe a whole army in the night. He sent the angel of the Lord that Benjamin had been talking before about that we think that the
Jesus,
angel
yeah.
of the Lord is Jesus. Yeah, he sent the angel of the Lord, and then all the army was dead. And then the Israel was covered in safety, you know?
Well, that's the way to
So
fight a war right there.
yeah,
Not actually have
exactly.
to fight. Just get behind God and be like, y'all should retreat. Because it's not going to turn out
Yeah.
well for you.
God required amazing faith from these Old Testament characters
Yeah.
because they had like battles where they're looking and they're like, there is no way that
Well, I mean,
we're okay.
look at poor Abraham, how long he wanted a son and was promised one, and then he gets one. God's like, I need you to kill him, please, or sacrifice him. Shouldn't say kill
He was
him.
gonna do it, yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking like a second ago, like the sower that we just read, like when Jesus is talking to them about the prophets wanted to hear the things they hear, and like I was thinking how lucky the apostles were. And then I remembered that other than Saint John the Beloved, they were all martyred
Yeah.
horrifically. And Saint John, who survived it, was boiled alive in oil, which is no good either. But they were lucky and blessed. Obviously, they would have chosen that life if they were able to go back and do it again, I'm sure. But yeah, they went through a lot for the
Yeah.
information that they were given.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they gave us a lot too, so.
For eternity.
Yep.
Yes. And I don't know if you guys believe in this, but I've been listening to sometimes to people that say that they have been in heaven or kids.
I listen
Kids
to it all
of
the time.
two,
People like near-death experiences.
yes,
Yes.
or kids of 2 or 3 years old talking about like, God told me this and this and that, and they start to say things that a kid cannot say, you know, that age,
My
and
friend
talk and
Laura's
talk and talk.
son, when he was like 2 or 3, Parker, and they're not even the slightest bit religious. I think Laura's actually an atheist. She told me one time that Parker was talking to her about an angel that was helping him before he was born through her. So I think our souls can experience a lot of different things at different points in life. So
Yeah, but
I don't know, it's just
lately
good.
it's happening a lot that kids are saying things or people is experiencing near-death experiences, you
I'll send
know.
them to you guys if I can find them again, but like I've even heard like Muslims who had near-death experiences, and they're like, and then there was Jesus, and now I'm no longer a Muslim. Right?
Yeah,
Like,
can you imagine that
and they
being a
said they just
Muslim
knew.
thinking?
They didn't even talk. They talked telepathically. The being never says I'm Jesus. They just knew it was Jesus.
I heard several Muslims that they didn't have a near experience. They have an experience alive, and they saw
Our
Jesus
lives, yeah.
alive. And I know one that had a church, a Christian church in her country back there in Africa, and then they had to hide. It's a persecuted church, so the persecuted church, they hide, and they worship God, trying to be silent, like ta, 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 I am in the presence of the Lord, shh, shh, like that, you know. And they try to worship and worship, but they had so much joy because she say that the persecuted church is a stronger church. It has to be, I don't know, but they are always very faithful. This lady married a guy that was also persecuted because he was a contrabandist of Bibles. So he was bringing Bibles to the Middle East
Oh.
and in countries that a Bible cannot enter. And so these drug dealers, it was funny because they thought that he was selling drugs in their territory. So they want to
Wait,
kill
he was a
him.
drug dealer smuggling Bibles in instead
No,
of
he
drugs.
was a Bible smuggler, okay? But the drug dealers thought that he was a drug dealer too,
Oh,
you know?
okay.
So he say, open what you have in your backpack or whatever. So he had to open, and they saw that it's just Bibles. I don't have drugs, it's Bibles. And he said, we don't believe it. So we need to check these books. Come with us. So the couple of the drug dealers start to read the book. Guess what? He got converted.
Wow.
So he has his own church. Yes, he left the drug dealer thing. And then now, yes, I mean it's amazing. I heard several stories like that. And it's all over the world.
Now, all I know is if God calls you for something, you better do it, because that's why we're doing this, because I still love true
Exactly.
crime. I still watch it all the time, but I can't bring myself to talk about it anymore. There's more important things to discuss now.
Yes, and then yes, we are in a mission for something, you know, and then probably it's just discipleship, it's telling others about Jesus.
Yeah.
And if they can see in us a change, if they can see in us that we just want to be doing that, you
Yeah.
know, and then at some point they look for you. Even if they in the beginning, they will reject you. Then when they are in trouble, guess who they look for? The person that prays. That always happened to me. People
Yeah.
that reject me or say things mean about my faith, they come back to me when they are in trouble and say, can you please pray for this? I know you are a woman of prayer, so pray, please. So it's, and of course I do.
I hope so. Get trouble.
I think that shows you that, like, they knew something was different about you all along.
Yeah.
They believed in you all along. They just didn't have time for it because of, like, the passage that we're reading, right, where the world creeps in and takes it away, right? Like, people are, like, worried about money and bills and stress and relationships and all of the world things.
Yes.
But when that stuff starts to fall away, it's like, that Veronica lady is super happy all the time. I know she loves God. Let me go talk to her.
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons I'm so, like, spirited towards prison ministry, because I feel like, because normally with my church, we go and minister, like, we get assigned a mentor and a mentee. And they're in their last year of prison, so they're learning how to, I guess, kind of reacclimate back to society. But I think it's very important that they go out with a strong faith and a strong understanding of God and His Word, because, and this is what I feel, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I feel like if they have a strong faith and a strong love for Jesus, they're not going to want to reoffend or go back to drugs or alcohol or, you know, whatever their choice of poison was. At least that's my hope. So that's why I really want to jump in head first and just go.
The biggest conversions has been in the jail.
Yeah. Still scary, but it's all right. I got
sometimes
God.
Sometimes they get converted inside. You know?
Oh yeah, I know.
They don't need it, even people from outside. They have people inside. For some reason, God sent good people to jail. There is innocent people there, and then these people also happen to be Christians, and so they start to spread the word there. They know that they are there for that reason.
Yeah.
Now, if you think about it, not that anyone wants to go there or that it's a benefit to be there in a lot of ways, but, like, if you want to take the world out of someone's life, prison's a quick, I mean, I know it has its own things like commissary and, you know, like playing games and cards and whatever people are doing in prison, but in some internet access and things like that. But it takes a lot of the world out, right? Like, you don't have to make money anymore. You don't have to pay bills, right? So I think you probably have the ability to, like, start to reprioritize and figure out, you know, God's more important than any of this stuff that I was fighting for in the outside world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to look at it too. Well, Ben, I don't know how it is in Paris, but here in Tennessee, it's hot. And I'm sweating, so.
It is hot too. It's very hot.
Oh yeah, that fan going in your room, whatever. Ben, you want to pray us out? Then we'll do an altar call real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us together tonight to go over your word and to just really dive into it and seek understanding and to apply it to our lives and reach out to other people and hopefully reach them with your word and with something that could bring them closer to you, Father. In your holy name I pray. Amen.
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 Spanish it up for me.
What?
Said you want to Spanish this altar call up for me?
Yes, yes.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. This is for anybody who has felt the tug of sorry, my dad came out. Anyway, let's start this again. This is for anybody who felt that tug of Jesus and wants what so many people feel is love and just want to be part of that. I don't know if movement's the right thing to say, but just wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit and know the love of God and Jesus and ensure that your eternity is going to be in heaven and not somewhere that you're probably not going to like very much. Just say these words out loud with us. Heavenly Father,
Padre querido,
I come before you today knowing that I am a sinner.
vengo aquí sabiendo que soy una pecadora
And that I cannot save myself.
y que no puedo salvarme a mí mismo.
I confess my sins to you.
Confieso mis pecados a ti.
And ask for your forgiveness.
Y te pido por tu perdón.
I believe that Jesus Christ is your son.
Yo creo que Jesús es tu hijo.
That he died on the cross for my sins.
Y que murió en la cruz por mis pecados.
Was buried and rose again on the third day.
Fue enterrado y fue resucitado al tercer día.
I believe his sacrifice paid the price for my sins.
Creo que su sacrificio pagó el precio de mis pecados.
And that he alone is my savior.
Y que él solamente es mi Señor.
Today I turn away from my old life.
Hoy día quiero salir de mi vida antigua.
And place my faith and trust in Jesus.
Y ponerle mi fe y confiar en Jesús.
I surrender my heart to you.
Yo me arrepiento de corazón ante ti.
Please come into my life.
Ven a mi vida.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lléname del Espíritu Santo.
And help me to follow you for the rest of my days.
Y ayúdame a seguirte por el resto de mis días.
Thank you for your amazing grace.
Gracias por tu fabulosa gracia.
Your mercy.
Tu misericordia.
And the gift of eternal life.
Y tu regalo de vida eterna.
Help me to grow in my relationship with you.
Ayúdame a crecer en mi relación contigo.
And to live in a way that honors you.
Y vivir una vida que te honre a ti.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray.
En el maravilloso nombre de Jesús, yo te pido esto.
Amen.
Amén.
Now, for those of you who just prayed that prayer, we'd love to hear about it. So please get back in touch with us if you want to, obviously. Or if you need prayers or want somebody to pray with you or for you, whatever the case may be, you can contact us at throughtheabysspodcast@gmail.com. I do check this every day. So somebody will get back to you very quickly because I don't have a lot going on right now other than I have to read the Bible frequently throughout the day because it's a lot to take in. But we thank you so much for tuning in tonight, and I hope that you gained some knowledge from this. I know I did. It's always lovely to have Bible study with you guys because you certainly clarify some things that just haven't made sense to me, I guess, so far. So this is lovely and wonderful. I'm glad we're doing this.
Great.
And we will see you guys next week.
Okay. See you. Bye.
Love Bye-bye. Everybody.
Love you too. Bye. So
come on, my soul. As this episode comes to a close, remember this. No matter how deep the valley, no matter how heavy the darkness may feel, hope still lives. Thank you for listening to Echoes Through the Abyss podcast, where stories from the darkest places remind us that redemption, healing, and faith are always possible. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm Chapter 30, verse 5. Until next time, keep walking toward the light.